Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched a central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Yeah, my pseudonym, a group of men, it doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began. Does
anybody know? Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is the Tokens Radio Show, where we talk about all things Bitcoin, crypto, blockchain, and Web3. Thank you for joining us today. My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
And we'd like to say hello to Pat,
who's
producing
there.
The show today.
Hey,
good to
good
see
morning.
You.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Whatever works.
Yeah, just in case, you know, I don't see you again tomorrow morning. So.
Yeah, you bet. Well, good to have you.
Yeah. I'm just a B-team for Liam, who's he's finishing an album in L.A., but he'll be back tomorrow. So
awesome. Nice.
And it's good to have your beautiful bride here.
Yeah, Pamela's with me here, and I'm going to close the drapes here in just a minute. So.
Okay. We'll leave you two alone.
It is a beautiful day out there. I mean, what can you say to that, you know?
You can always find our archive shows at KCNR1460.com or TokensRadioShow.com. And if you'd like to chat with us, contact us on Twitter at Tokens Radio Show. That's at Tokens Radio Show. Give us a call here at the station if you have a comment and like to chat with us at 530-605-4567. And the chat room is open.
It is today.
Yes, it is.
Every once in a while we have a little quirk, but it is good to go. So if you want to type a question in there, we'll be more than happy to help you out and answer it for you. Well, or get the answer. We may not always have the answer, but we will get the answer if we don't.
Well, currently Bitcoin's at 19,500 and Ethereum's at 1331. XRP is... it's at 46 cents, and XLM was looking right around 11 cents last time I looked.
So Bitcoin's up just a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see what's going to happen here and shake out in the next week. So we're hitting some moving average, significant moving average point, so we'll see what happens. Luke Gibson of Gibson Appraisal sponsors this portion of the show. In a changing real estate market, you can't take a chance of getting the wrong valuation. Serving Shasta, Siskiyou, and Trinity counties, for prompt and accurate appraisals, contact Luke at 530-221-0154. That's 530-221-0154.
And with today's market, you need somebody you can trust with the values and all that with the real estate
and
market.
And have a prompt. Report. Sometimes these reports take a while to get back.
Yeah, we've known in the past quite a few days in there. So
yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
So what's on crypto speak this week?
I picked candlesticks.
Okay.
You know, it's not something that we talk a lot about, but whenever it comes to the financial world, mostly the financial world, a lot of it is done by what we call graphs. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about it. I thought, well, maybe candlestick might be something we need to go over just a little bit and how it works with cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. So the graph chart on cryptocurrency is usually done in red and green. Green for the price going up and red for the price going down. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get the name candlestick.
Okay. And they have little wicks on them.
And they have little wicks.
Right.
You know, in some graphs, you get head and shoulders is one.
Cup and handles, yep.
Yep, where the market's going up and down and things like that. But usually in the crypto world, it's done in red and green. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Candlestick.
There you go. Very important. And you know, charting's not something that I've really gotten into myself. I'd want to learn more about that. But I'm not one to be a trader, so to speak. I'm kind of a dollar cost averager, so candlesticks don't mean a lot to me.
Right, but you
But they do to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true. And it's good to look at a graph once in a while just to see the trends. You know, you don't have to get too in-depth into it, but understand, you know, when this happens, that happens, and what causes it to happen. Because it helps you in your decisions sometimes with investments.
Right, if whether you're going to wait or maybe jump in now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, taking a look at the graph, for instance, with Bitcoin, there was quite a dip there. So if you were watching your candlesticks, that might have been a good entry point when you saw this bottom at 18,800, I believe.
Right. So and again, like I say, it goes across all financial markets pretty much. And a lot of people go by that, but you don't have to. But it's nice to look at it and go, I see a trend here or something like that. Yeah. So this might be my time, like you say. This might be the time for me to kind of get in the door.
Charting is very interesting, though. There are quite a few influencers we listen to, and they often refer to the charts, and they can go back to historical periods of time, even within Bitcoin in short relative time that it's been in existence, they can still see patterns. And I think that those patterns are very helpful.
That's a good point, because a lot of times, if not all, they repeat under certain circumstances. It's like history. It will repeat.
Yeah, it's human behavior. We just happen to repeat things. So, there's been so much going on in the news this week.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one of the biggies was that Bitcoin, drum roll, Bitcoin was added to the Guinness Book of... Yes, thank you. Bitcoin was added to the Guinness Book of World Records as the first decentralized cryptocurrency. While Guinness edition is an achievement, some of the factoids provided by Guinness researchers are wrong, such as the number of coins that will ever be minted, that type of thing. But, you know, in the big scheme of things, it's really cool that they made the Guinness Book of World Records, and perhaps if they had been listening to Token's radio show, they would have gotten some of those other factoids
right. There you go. Yeah, I thought it was just kind of interesting to see that headline.
Yeah,
that it was made Guinness Book of World Records. It's like, wow.
Yeah, that is, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like, that's kind of cool. So there you go. All right. So this week's podcast host of Bitcoin Bottom Line had a discussion on events that's happening, and Bitcoin has emerged as a safety net. Currencies appear to be collapsing, imagine that, under government's management. Mm. Some of them are like Japan and England are a complete mess. Can you imagine? Is that a surprise? Especially China? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The pound is currently at an all-time low, along with many other currencies. Bond markets are doing historically worse than they ever have.
Yeah. You know, I had a chat with our financial guy, Felix, the other day.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the condition of the bond markets. He's very leery of them right now. But
it's understandable.
Digression there.
Again, the graphs... The candlesticks, you know, they kind of all tie in there.
The wicks and candlesticks.
Yeah, the dollar is up 30% against other currencies over a short period of time. Remember, short period of time right now. Mm-hmm. People are generally unaware of how interlinked all of the central banks are.
And they are. It's very scary. The overnight swaps, it's something you're not hearing quite a bit about, but they're significant. We had to prop up the Swiss banks last week, Central Bank last week, by billions of dollars because of a liquidity crunch.
Right.
And then we did this with the Bank of London, I believe, a couple weeks before that, liquidity crunch.
Yeah. Again, I don't think, like you said, that people realize the connection the central bank has with everything.
Right.
They don't look to that degree of, wow, can it just be like six banks? Yeah, it can.
Well, it's like their own little family, the central banks. They're intricately connected to each other.
Right. So you as an investor, you could put your money in a diverse portfolio of risk so that you are not at all risk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin does not have a yield or natural interest rate, so you have to manage your cash flow in order to operate. The problem is that during inflation, your cash flow is being burned much faster.
Yeah.
Using Bitcoin as a transaction method, there is very little volatility between transaction periods. You can decide to exchange it all for cash, or you could take a fraction in Bitcoin and the rest in cash. Bitcoin is an off-ramp for all the central banking mismanagement. So it's mm-hmm. a little bit more diverse, for lack of a better term, Bitcoin is, because you can. You can leave some in Bitcoin. You can take some out in fiat. You could take it out and purchase other currencies, cryptocurrencies. You could buy gold and silver. I mean, it opens up a lot of avenues for you.
Yeah, rather than leaving it in fiat where you know that your dollar is being burned at about 8% rate of inflation, probably higher because the true inflation rate is not at 8%.
It's probably more like 18, 19.
It is quite a bit higher.
Yeah.
But it does allow you to hedge against inflation. That's why they've always said Bitcoin is deflationary.
Right.
Yeah, so very interesting.
Yeah.
Good point. And, you know, we tried to just bring the snippets of that podcast to your attention, but that podcast would probably be worthwhile to listen to.
Yeah, and that's through Bitcoin Magazine.
Right.
Yeah, just so you know.
Well, this next article was from Exploding Topics. That's the first time I've seen an article from them. But this was interesting in that they wrote about cryptocurrency world took off last year, and I'd say definitely it was a transformative year, it seemed like. And let's take a look at the top cryptocurrency trends for the next 3 years, at least for what's expected.
Okay, so we're talking probably like to 2025?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And the total market capitalization of all cryptocurrencies now exceeds $0.9 trillion, and it's estimated that there are over 300 million crypto users worldwide. Growth is expected to continue through 2025, and I think way beyond, because we're so early still in this whole process.
Right. And I'm glad that they said that in the beginning, because if you listen to a lot of resources and stuff, they make it sound like there's not that many that are involved in this world, when there really is quite a few, and it's growing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 300 million, you're looking almost at the size of the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a country of, what, 335 million people, I believe?
Somewhere right in there, but yeah. So.
That's a large swath of people.
Yeah, it is.
So there's six data points that they came up with, and the first one is institutional adoption of the crypto ecosystem. And we've seen this happen quite a bit. We've reported on it. Mm-hmm. And it's expected by the end of 2020, $15 billion of institutional assets were under management and had been allocated to the crypto asset class. This is a five-time increase from just the year before that in 2019. Companies like MassMutual, Square, and MicroStrategy paved the way by placing portions of their cash reserves in Bitcoin. MicroStrategy, big time. They were putting all of their cash reserves into Bitcoin.
That's interesting.
That's a Michael Saylor's company.
Right.
PayPal and Venmo allowed crypto trading on their platforms, and last year, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange introduced micro Ether future contracts in December of last year.
All right. And so number two is DeFi applications increase. Mm-hmm. This concept basically involves traditional finance transactions that take place on the blockchain by the way of smart contracts. DeFi transactions range from traditional lending to the creation of derivatives and yield farming, where users deposit crypto assets in a pool and receive interest on those deposits. Decentralized exchanges, have also increased in popularity. I wonder why. That's the whole premise behind Bitcoin. And it's supposed to be cryptocurrencies, but not always. That's why you need to do your homework. DEX such as Uniswap, PancakeSwap, and SushiSwap.
SushiSwap, I think it was a typo.
Oh, WAP. Swap, sushi swap, allow crypto owners to transact directly without the need for intermediary.
And that's the whole purpose of cryptocurrency and decentralized finance is to do peer-to-peer transactions.
Yes.
I wish to buy your car and you wish to have me sell it to you, right?
Right.
Or if you sell it to me. So we're going to make a transaction. So we don't need to go to the bank and pick you up a cashier's check or whatever. And I could just send you cryptocurrency directly.
Right.
And we're happy. I get the title. You get the cryptocurrency.
And there's not a third party looking over your shoulder going, no, you can't do that. Yes, you can do that. We're going to keep track of you. You've got too many cars. And by the way, you ate too many cashews.
Exactly, and especially if that cashier's check was over $5,000. Well, over $49.99, I believe it is. So then now there's a reason. Can you tell us why you need so much money?
Oh, right. Okay. And not only that. Speaking of cashier's checks, it takes like. Did you know it takes up to like 2 weeks?
Yeah, it can
for them to clear.
Yes, it does take a while.
Yeah.
So not the case with decentralized finance. And it does, you know, in this last year, it seemed like it's been an NFT explosion.
And
NFTs are tokenizing everything. Non-fungible tokens have grown by 1,400% over the last 5 years. NFTs represent digital claims to a unique thing or an asset. It could be physical or digital. Fungible tokens like Bitcoin, they don't necessarily represent any claim to an asset or a physical thing. NFTs have proven to protect copyrights of art and music and real estate.
And they are physical things.
Yes. And we reported three, 4 months ago about those transactions that had occurred in Miami that were minted. They were on an NFT.
Right.
It had all of the escrow grant deed, all of that information minted onto an NFT.
Right.
Pretty cool stuff.
It is. And it's getting cooler.
Yeah.
And number four, regulations are unavoidable. Imagine that. In 2021 was a year of increasing regulatory clarity in the crypto market. And I'm sure we have more coming our way on that.
You know, that's kind of the double-edged sword. You don't want the regulations, but for the industry to grow, we need regulatory intervention so that everybody knows what the rules of the game are going to be. So
again, it depends on who's
making. We just don't want them to be heavy-handed with the regulations.
Right.
Right. DApps or decentralized applications transaction volume increased to over $270 billion in 2020, up from $21 billion in 2019. Wow, that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Recent estimates indicate that over 2,000 decentralized applications are running on the Ethereum blockchain, including Uniswap, which we talked about earlier.
Right. That's a lot.
Yes. It's quite an... we're talking
2020.
That,
yeah.
This is 2022, and these stats aren't even available yet.
It's going to be interesting when we do get them, what that number is.
Right.
All right. Stable coins and CBDCs, will alter the crypto ecosystem. Stable coins are used in DeFi applications because of their relative price stability. Central banks are trying to get ahead of the curve by issuing their own digital currency. We've talked about this. I'm sure we're going to talk about it more. But 80% of the central banks around the world are employing the use of CBDCs. Imagine that. They want control over it.
Right.
The cryptocurrency market has been almost completely unpredictable over the last several years. One thing that is certain is the innovation in this space will continue.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And we talked about stable coins last week. And stable coins do bring price stability in because of how they're backed. But there is backing to it. Whereas with a CBDC, the central banks will just simply move a decimal point and produce more digital currency. It's not on the blockchain, so you really don't know what's going on with that. They're just issuing digital right. currencies, and that is their way of stabilizing the market. I didn't really know how to say that because that's really what they do. They do manipulate the market because they're trying to create an outcome that they want.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of talk right now that what's going to be better, to have a higher inflationary state or to allow us to go into a very deep recession. So this is by manufacture of the central banks. That
right.
does not happen in a normal market economy that would be exclusive to cryptocurrency.
And not only that, but you may have to be part of the CBDCs,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't have to be your whole world. That's kind
right.
of what we're trying to get across to people with the education piece and knowledge. Is, yeah, you may have to interact with that platform to a certain degree, but you have a lot other options to go with in the digital world.
Yes, there are. And there's probably going to be less choice than what there are now. There's, 20,000 choices, but really how many of them would you use to transact? Most of them are highly speculative. But there's a handful, probably under 30, that will probably be the top ones that will be left.
Right.
And they will be market stabilizers for some people around the world and in some capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a good thing, but you got to know all the, you know, players, and you got to know all the roles.
Right.
To play the game, you know, and protect yourself and still be able to get Yeah. around.
This next article came up from Crypto Briefing. Well, you know, the IRS has finally drafted a new crypto reporting rules for tax year 2022. And the key takeaways is a draft version of Form 1040 has been released. So the form that you just filled out for 2021, they have one now for 2022. And I believe you said, Linda, we'll probably be able to see that form officially in February.
Yeah, usually, and don't hold your hat on that or hang your hat
right.
on that, because usually what happens a lot of times with their forms is they'll come out and then, you know, February when they supposedly finalize them or so, there is a few things that are quirked or changed or, you know, one example is, if you remember a couple of years ago, was unemployment.
Right.
You used to have to report it, then you didn't have to report it, then it was at a certain amount and so forth. So
okay.
There you go.
Gotcha. Well, the key takeaways are, as I said, the draft 1040 has been released. And it includes new reporting guidelines for digital assets. The tax agency has explicitly instructed taxpayers that this year to report NFTs alongside crypto and stablecoins.
That is new.
That is new.
So again, back to regulations.
Right.
Then we kind of know where we're at and what we have to do.
Exactly. And taxpayers are going to need to report most, but not all, transactions and transfers involving digital currencies, which is more clarification mm-hmm. to the rules. And the term digital asset is new to the 2022 tax year. In previous years, the IRS called the category virtual currency.
I was going to say something to that.
And did not explicitly discuss non-fungible tokens, mining profits, or other details seen in this year's form. The full text, if you're interested, is on the IRS.gov website, page 16 of the 122-page PDF of the 2022 instructions for Form 1040. And the agency warns readers to not use this early version of the form when they actually file their taxes. Of course, go see a tax professional
right.
like Linda and her brother, and especially if you've engaged in crypto transactions, consult with your tax professional early in the tax filing season.
And before we go to a break, it's nice to see the clarity between digital asset.
Yes. And virtual currency.
And virtual currency. And with that, we're going to take a break. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. And if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. And we will catch you on the other side. See you in three.
The only one not brainwashed, making my way through the land of the lost, who sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did. Am I the only one who can't take no more screaming? If you don't like it, there's a freaking door. This ain't the freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more. Yeah, it was something more.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The new 32 Below ice cream shop realizes that ice cream is more than just ice cream. Remember when you got good grades and mom would say, "All right, we're going to ice cream." Remember when the team won? It was like, "We're all going to ice cream." How about an ice cream date with the one you love? Yeah, ice cream is definitely more than just ice cream. It's a celebration. But guess what? You don't need a reason to go out for ice cream. You just need a cool place that's open every day of the week. That place is 32 Below Ice Cream Shop on Caterpillar Road, right next to Dill's Deli. 24 flavors of ice cream, shakes, malts, or soda floats, cookie sundaes, brownie sundaes, or the classic banana split. At 32 Below Ice Cream Shop, we believe life is a celebration, and anytime is a good time for ice cream. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop at 5136 Caterpillar Road next to Dill's Deli. Open Monday through Saturday, noon to 9, Sunday, noon to 7. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop. Anytime is a good time for ice cream.
Tokens Radio Show. Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
These days you can't get a man to work.
People get married and they still flirt. Don't pledge allegiance to our flag like we used to do. Good men are willing to give their lives, while politicians take away our rights, saying they know best what's good for you. These days, dads are always gone. Mama's still here, but she's on her phone. Grandma's raising the kids, and the devil is too.
And welcome back. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. And before we went to break, we were doing a recap on the week's news. Or some of it. Can't say all of it because there's way too much out there.
Yes.
So one of our next articles is from CoinMarketCap, and it has to do with MasterCard. MasterCard has rolled out a new program, a pilot program, called CryptoSource that will allow consumers to buy and sell cryptocurrencies directly from their bank accounts.
That's been a long time coming.
Now there's good things and bad things.
Yes.
CryptoSource is set to be rolled out to the U.S., Brazil, and Israel in early 2023, but at this stage it's unclear which banking institutions will be involved. So it doesn't mean that you'll have access quite yet. It just depends on, I wonder how they are going to determine which ones get what.
Well, you know, there's been some word out that you're going to be looking at your bigger institutions, probably JPMorgan Chase, Wells Fargo. I would look to them because of their involvement in the XRP project, Ripple. So they will probably...
government.
They will probably be well into this. The early
good
ones
point.
In.
Good mm-hmm. point. So they did some research, and MasterCard did, and it suggested that 29% of those polled hold crypto in an investment, but 65% would want crypto services to be offered by the banks they currently use.
And that is huge.
That's very big. Through CryptoSource, banks are set to be given the technology and partnership support to give their customers access to digital assets.
Here we were talking several times over the last year of how the apps they're currently, the banks are currently using, they're put out by NCR,
right.
That just behind the face, all they have to do is turn on the crypto apps. They were already there.
Yeah, we've actually been using them for a while. Transaction monitoring alongside anti-money laundering and know your business checks will also be rolled out to achieve regulatory compliance. Any crypto debit card will ensure everyday consumers can spend their digital assets anywhere. MasterCard is accepted as well as a benefit from an off-ramp back to fiat. That's huge.
Yeah, it is. MasterCard's made several announcements related to crypto in the recent weeks, and they came out with another tool called Crypto Secure. So you have Crypto Source and then Crypto Secure, and that's to help banks spot and cut off transactions from crypto exchanges that are susceptible to fraud. So this is the part that isn't too friendly because it shows that they do have quite a bit of control on who can play and who can't play. And in September, MasterCard revealed that it would allow debit cards to be customized with blue-chip NFTs such as Bored Apes and CryptoPunks.
Yeah, but, you know, what's nice about that is anywhere that it's accepted, when this gets into place, so you don't have to go looking necessarily for who accepts it or not.
Yeah, I think it's going to be industry-wide. Another MasterCard story, financial giant MasterCard wants to help banks take crypto mainstream and joins forces with Paxos to make it happen. Now, Paxos is a large trust company, and many companies will look to Paxos, they'll look to Prime Trust to be able to hold a transaction that has transpired. Swan, for instance, uses Prime Trust. So when you do a transaction with Swan and you pull your cryptos off of Swan, they're going to be sitting with Prime Trust. And so Paxos operates the same way. So MasterCard is teaming up with Paxos to launch crypto trading for banks. and they're planning to launch a platform that will function as a bridge between the two sectors. Paxos is already used by PayPal for its crypto services and is going to take care of the custody and trading side, while MasterCard handles the regulatory side.
That's probably a good thing.
So what's prompting this transaction? The research done by MasterCard says, just as Linda mentioned earlier, that 65% of their customers, they want this type of service. So if they're going to stay in business, they need to take care of their customers and provide the services that they want.
Right. Crypto continues to be embraced by TradeFi as a slew of large banks get their foot into the door, and it's a bullish signal for the industry. Both Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan have set up their own crypto teams, but have been hesitant to offer crypto services to retail investors. Maybe MasterCard's move will change that.
That's
competition.
Huge. Well, they said retail investors. They're already open to institutional investors.
That's right.
That's a huge distinction. So the institutional investors, we needed to get them to buy into this. They already have. There's many institutional investors already in play, so that they're in place so that we, the retail investors, can participate. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because you got competition there.
Yes.
And it can't be all one person.
And just like we previously mentioned, JP Morgan Chase, they're in the game. They've been in for the long haul for a long time. They've got patents, the whole bit. So this next article is by Bitcoin.com, and Walmart's in the news. Walmart Global Chief Technology Officer and Chief Development Officer Suresh Kumar discussed cryptocurrency at a Yahoo Finance All Market Summit on Tuesday. So he replied to a question regarding the role what role crypto will play in Walmart's future. And so he said there's going to be three areas of disruption where crypto sort of falls in the middle of it. He went on to say that customers are getting inspired and discovering products is changing, so crypto's got to be in the mix. And part of that change is going to happen in the metaverse. Part will happen on live streams and inside social media apps. So what this is saying, probably they're advertising. You're going to see that in the metaverse. You're going to see that on live stream, you know, the interruptions. You see quite a bit on YouTube and so forth and inside the social media apps, of course. If you're on Facebook or whatnot, you know how all that works.
All right.
So whether it's physical goods or virtual goods, crypto will play a part in terms of what the customer wants and how they're going to transact.
Walmart wants to make sure the transactions are friction-free for their customers, noting that the disruption is going to start happening in terms of different payment methods and different payment options, with crypto playing an important role in that.
Yeah, and Walmart filed several trademark applications last year covering cryptocurrency, the metaverse, NFTs. There are NFT products and services. The retail giant entered the metaverse just last month with the launch of Walmart Land in the universe of play on Roblox. So they're big players in this. They've been early on into this. They saw their place in this, and it's exciting to see them move forward with it.
Yeah.
Expect Target
to
be there.
Yeah, they have been in the game for a while because they're one of the first, if you think, when this all started happening with the pandemic, did the online grocery shopping.
Sure, yeah.
And that's all part of it.
Yeah.
That all is kind of connected with everything, so.
Walmart's no slouch, that's for sure.
Nope. Okay, so this next article, actually, it has to do with, after our show last week, we had a listener share how he uses Pax Gold, and remember we were talking about this, as an alternative to the mainstream stable coins we discussed. After doing some research on this, he had to share with us what he had found out about it. Pax Gold, symbol PAXG, is a digital asset. Each token is backed by one fine troy ounce of a 400-ounce London Good Delivery gold bar, stored in Brink's vaults. If you own PAXG, you own the underlying physical gold held in custody by Paxos Trust Company. And you were just talking about them.
Yeah, and I got to just say thank you to Farmer John who brought this to the attention. He calls it, the way he uses this is as a stable coin. It's not categorized as a stable coin, but it is tied to an ounce of gold. So it is stable, but how it's pegged is different than a typical stable coin, which is one for one
right.
for fiat. But this is pegged to a gold bar and the value of gold at the time. PAXG is highly accessible. It's an ERC-20 token, and it's on the Ethereum blockchain. It could be moved or traded anywhere in the world 24/7 with low investment minimums. And it's regulated by the New York State Financial Services Company. It's fully backed by allocated gold held in the most secure leading Brink vaults in the world.
PAX Gold, the only gold token that you can redeem for LBMA accredited good delivery gold bullion bars. It's flexible. Jeez, makes it easy to convert or redeem PAXG for fiat, physical or unallotted gold via Paxo platform. You can trade it against other digital assets on the popular crypto exchange. You can use PAXG wherever ERC-20 tokens are supported. They are extremely competitive fee structure for creation and redemptions of PAXG tokens in the Paxos wallet. Low on-chain ETH transaction fees and zero storage fees. As with other ERC-20 tokens, ETH has gas fees applied for on-chain transactions, yeah. So they don't charge
very low
you.
Fees.
And then they're very low.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say don't charge you, but they're very low.
Now, here's what's really cool about PAX Gold. Let's say you want to buy some gold, and you want to buy it digitally.
Okay.
This gives you the option of buying digital gold. Okay, we're always referring to Bitcoin being the store of value digital gold, but this is a true representation that if you buy this, and you can buy it fractionalized, I mean, it's like 5 cents a unit at this point. But if you buy $1,800 or so, I don't know exactly where gold is sitting at this point.
That's about 18.
You would have 1 ounce of full gold that you can say, you know, you call up to Paxos or contact them and say, I want that gold bullion, and they will ship it to you. That's what's really cool.
That is cool because a lot of places it's hard to get it.
Well, and it's far better than an ETF because you don't own anything in the ETF.
Right.
You're buying a belief. Really. That's all it is, an exchange traded fund. But here you put your money in it and you say, I want to take it out. And it's yours. It's real money. It's amazing.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So thanks Farmer John. If you're listening, we really appreciate that tidbit. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's really good information for people out there because maybe we didn't quite go over enough of it last time how it is actually the physical gold on that. So
yeah. So this next segment we're going to talk about is more like stockpiling, and we were going back and forth whether we even wanted to include this on the show, but from the economic side of things, the articles just don't stop. The news reports don't stop about the economic conditions around the world. But then another article came our way from somebody that we like to follow, Dr. Robert Malone. Maybe
yeah.
You've heard of him or not. What's really interesting from his take, and it's interesting how the economic folks and how this article, they intersect at the same place to where we're going to have an expectation of food shortages because of the supply chains.
Right. They both agree on that. There's no
yes.
problem. But how that's going to happen
yeah.
is a little bit of a difference.
We have unprecedented forces that are all coming together at the same time. Some
mm-hmm.
call it the fourth turning. Some call it, you know, the 200-year, you've got the 100-year collapse of the dollar, you've got the 200-year where you've got like a trifecta effect of where the economy, technology, and social events come together at the same time.
You get some people think it's the climate that's going to do it.
The Shmitra.
The Shmitra, EMPs. I mean, the list goes on and on. Yeah. But they all agree that it's going to happen.
So here's an interest. Maybe you didn't hear about that. I didn't know that this happened. So the Tonga volcanic eruption in January, so there was an eruption in January, I guess, was the largest atmospheric explosion documented since 1883 in Indonesia in the Krakatoa eruption.
I don't remember hearing anything about a big eruption.
It was probably
not
newsworthy for some reason. In large volcanic eruptions, temperatures in the southern hemisphere have crashed this summer. Volcanic dust has spread across the world. Colder temperatures combined with large snow and rainfall are already occurring. So I'm wondering about those funky floods. They were terrible floods, but they happened at a funky time. Earlier this year, and it can be expected that this winter in the United States and the European continent, there will be colder temperatures than usual and more rain and snowfall resulting in crop failures this winter.
Right. And you have to wonder, like you say, whether it was the rain or, I mean, look at us. We stayed warm way longer than normal.
Bloody hot, yes.
Bloody hot. I'll tell you, it's bloody hot out there. Hey, not today. But if that didn't have something instead of just what they want you to believe sometimes, because they don't give you all the information. So, anyway, it is expected that, of course, that the food shortage is coming. Food is getting expensive, you know.
Yeah, and it's
all the
be,
time.
Yeah.
You know, winter and spring. What's going to happen during the winter and springtime? The United States, we know the prices are going up. Certain food items are getting where they're unavailable. Right. I don't know if you've noticed that at the grocery store. It depends on what it is. You go in there one time and there's abundance of it. The next time, you can't find one.
Have you walked into a CVS or a Rite Aid lately? And the shelves, it does look like a third world store.
A lot of times, yeah.
Because there are so many empty shelves. And I always think about that, and even going into our grocery stores, you see, you know, a lot of the holes, you know, they use, Jim, you'll have to help me out here. I think they're called, they're maps for the store stockers to where certain things are supposed to go. And those holes are empty. I mean, look at Kloss and Pickles were gone for so long.
Right.
You know,
you can notice that they'll stretch out other
items. Right, yeah.
So you'll have like, you know, 50.
Yeah, so in case you didn't notice, this is happening.
That's for sure. And again, it depends on the items.
Right.
And one time they'll be there, the next time they won't.
And we're not talking about prepping. We're not going into the prepper mindset here. We're talking about stockpiling.
Yeah, so that you can get by. So, you know, you want to stockpile certain things. Food staples is one. Maybe some fuel.
Right.
If you can, grow your own food.
That's grow your own food.
Grew?
Grow your own food.
That's what I thought I said.
You did. Instead of saying grow your own.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Right over the top of
we
my
We are
head
in the cannabis industry here, you know.
Went right over. Sorry, a little slow was on the yellow bus this morning. Okay. You know, they say the food here is going to be very expensive, but still available. Again, I think it depends on the food and what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Are we talking beef? Are we talking chicken? Are we talking, you know, canned goods? Are we talking fruits and vegetables?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we were just talking yesterday about how difficult it is to get turkeys.
Yes.
So this year around Thanksgiving, you might choose a ham. But we did have to slaughter, you know, thousands of pork earlier this year as well. So, we may have a Thanksgiving ham or a Christmas ham, but how expensive will that ham be? Because we don't have the production up to where we were. Look at all the chickens that had to be killed.
Right.
Because we weren't able to harvest, you know, in the harvesting plants and process them. Plus, they had some bird flu.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you know, and it could also be, you know, like some bulk flour.
Right.
oats, and I mentioned the canned goods, mm-hmm. Even stuff for the freezer.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things people don't realize that you can actually put in your freezer, and it lasts quite a while.
Well, you know, we talk about, we buy a half a side of beef.
Right.
Okay, and that's probably 6 to 8 months worth of food for just me and my husband. And sometimes the dogs, too.
Right.
But we're buying from a local rancher. And so we're able to fill our freezer. But we're doing that because you can't count on Costco. I mean, we shouldn't be counting on Costco, really,
no.
to be buying our meat when you look at the big picture of things here.
And that's what we want to do anyway, is support our community,
right,
whether
right.
it's the beef. You probably know somebody you can get vegetables
right.
from, you know,
yeah,
certain things like that. So that all ties in. That helps everybody in the community. And at the same time, it brings up your reserves and you stockpile some stuff and makes it a little bit
like
easier.
Coffee? You better stockpile coffee.
You know, I actually started doing that because I got worried about coffee.
Jim always asked me, he goes, why are you buying so much coffee?
That's another thing. You know, you can put it in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of our coffee doesn't come from here.
Right.
So you may want to.
Southern Hemisphere. That's
yeah,
right.
You may want to think about that because,
right.
again, if the food chain gets slowed down or stopped or whatever, it may be a little bit. And people can get kind of grumpy if they don't have their coffee, you know.
Yeah, and when you're buying items now, it's a hedge against inflation because the prices are just going to keep going up. And if we have a crop failure, it's a lifeline for a household budget, you know. So it does come with a upfront investment, though. It's not cheap to go buy a half a cow. It isn't.
Right. No, it's not.
It's going to probably be a couple $1,000s by the time you're done.
If not more now.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to budget for
yes,
some of that.
Yes, you do.
And another way to look at that, sometimes if you can't afford half a beef, maybe find a neighbor or somebody or a friend.
Sure.
And go, hey, I can do a quarter. Could you possibly do a quarter or something?
Right, yeah.
And then it helps both people out, and it's not that big of a problem on your pocketbook.
Okay. Yeah, and these were some other good suggestions that he had. Other things to stockpile would be grass-fed whey, if you can find it. Whey is a great source of protein,
mm-hmm.
and if it's
it
grass-fed, it has a more digestible protein because, you know, a whey protein is somewhat difficult for people to digest, especially if it's a grain-fed
right.
type of beef. It changes the composition. So if you can get grass-fed, that's great, and it does store well, especially if you put it in shrink-wrap bags. Non-fat dried milk, dried buttermilk, those are great.
Yeah, you know, there's another one, and it was years ago I found out about it. I want to throw in here is dehydrated butter.
Oh, yeah. We have some of that, yes.
Yeah. It was like, wow, really?
Yeah. We even have dehydrated peanut butter.
Oh.
Yeah. Just add some water.
That's interesting. You know, it may not be the best tasting, but if it gets to that point,
you're hungry.
Who cares?
That's
you're hungry?
Right. Yep.
Yep. And some other things, you know, seed oils, nuts mm-hmm. are good.
Right.
Olives, dried fruits, pickles,
right.
things like that always work well. Frozen vegetables and fruits are always really good.
Look for foods that aren't produced in China. The country of origin labeling is worth reading. Of course, organic is best, but it's not always possible and may not be in your budget. But the most important thing is to have a little extra in your pantry.
And if you can, maybe get a few animals if you have the space.
Mm-hmm.
Chickens are always good. You don't have to have a lot of them.
Yeah.
And one thing that they brought in that I had forgot about was the portable coops.
Right.
Which makes it nice. It's on wheels. You put a few in there and boop, 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 away you go. And with that, I think we're just about out of time.
Yeah. And also he said, consider making your own dog food.
And you do that.
Yes. They had some cool Instapot recipes there. So it was a great article. It was Dr. Robert Malone, and you can find him on Substack.
And don't forget, Fertelli's meeting
yes.
with Bitcoin Center. It is on October 27th at 6 p.m.
Good catch.
All
that's
right.
The Reading Bitcoin.
The Reading Bitcoin
the
Center.
Once said, the government which governs best governs least. So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world. This is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property in your money, and that's it.
I'm aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty.